This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Anyway, thanks again to Jordan Foot for joining us last segment. Sneeze emoji, sneeze emoji, sneeze emoji.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last week we spent quite a bit of time talking about how weird it was to be in the tension of a Wednesday between a borderline meaningless regular season football game and right ahead of a playoff game that felt like it had blowout potential. Well, this Wednesday is kind of weird, but for totally different reasons and for much more fun ones, because we are in between our first day on Almost Entirely Sports talking about the Chiefs beating the Steelers last week, and also our first day on Almost Entirely Sports of looking ahead to the Buffalo Bills, which means last week we were kind of at a buffet and like all that was left was some noodles that had been sitting there for a little bit too long and like roasted chicken, you know? So I'm happy to be at a buffet nonetheless, but our options are limited. Right now, I feel like there is a Vegas buffet smorgasbord happening in potential football football content, Chiefs content, really. And who better to hit up the buffet with than Jordan Foote? Because he's a man of many scoops. It's like many different hats, but I'm making it all fit the buffet analogy. You can follow him on Twitter at footnoted. He is now, as of last week, a part of all of us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. A part of all of us, really, is. It's even better than a family. We are all one. And of course, you can still get all of his work as the deputy editor of Arrowhead Report on the Sports Illustrated Fan Nation Network. Jordan, you a buffet guy, actually? Do you like buffets?
When you were talking about it, I'm a huge buffet guy. I can throw down a man of many, many scoops. And have you been to Pizza Ranch before?
Yes, it's been so long.
So
yes. Oh, man, Pizza Ranch. Woo!
I call it the chicken ranch because when I go up there, I start off with some chicken. You know, I'll get a couple assorted pieces, whatever.
Sure.
I'll go back. I'll get some pizza. I'll go scoop of ice cream or two, whatever.
On the pizza.
Have you tried that before?
Just saying that we all got to open our minds
okay.
A little bit.
So I'll try that. And then I go back for more chicken. And I call it chicken ranch. That is the buffet. Did you ever go to Hometown Buffet? I can't even remember
no.
Where it was. It was up in North Kansas City. That's where all my buffet stuff is.
Okay.
I go out to the Golden Corral. I believe it's in Liberty every once in a while. Hometown Buffet, man. They had this omelet station. That's when you know it's a really good buffet.
Oh, man, I love an omelet station.
And they cook them in like 3 minutes and maybe even less than that. Like the legal quickest way to cook an omelet is what they did. Like, instead of you're at home and you throw some stuff on there, you kick the heat down a little bit,
yeah.
You wait for it. They literally throw it onto the fire.
Yes.
Your omelet, by the time it settles, is like half done.
Good.
And you throw stuff on there.
Good.
Needless to say,
I want that omelet custom and fast.
Yes. And, I mean, they don't chit-chat with you. They say, what do you want? You do it. You get the heck out of there. You move on down the line.
It's like a hibachi omelet where they actually start
yes.
throwing it to you and you have to catch it with your mouth as you walk by.
Yes. And like, it's not a good omelet if they don't, like, drop something on the floor or whatever while they're making
right.
it because they're just going crazy.
A rat comes over
yes,
and grabs
exactly.
it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's just part of it.
Yep.
Part of the ambiance.
And it's just great. So I'm a big buffet guy. I'm very big fan of a buffet. The Chiefs have quite a few, you know, menu options.
There
For this week against the Buffalo Bills. And Andy Reid, man, he showed it last week against the Steelers. That offensive menu, the little Waffle House
yeah.
one that he's holding up
wow.
to call plays, it was crazy.
We really just ran the gamut there in about a couple of minutes, which makes me very happy because we started Chiefs, and then I got distracted, and then you followed my distraction, and then brought us back to Chiefs again. So I have a really golden opportunity. It's that I can talk about Golden Corral or Chiefs. The good news is we've got you in studio for the hour to wrap up this Wednesday. So we'll have time to spend plenty of time on all the Chiefs stuff. I will say this on the buffet front. I am not a huge recurring buffet visitor. I have very fond memories of Pizza Ranch. The unlimited pizza places. Do you ever go to Cece's?
I did. I did.
I can't even remember where I went to Cece's most often. I don't remember if it was in Wichita, which is where I lived and my whole family lived. Obviously, I wasn't a 10-year-old out of my own. We lived in Wichita until I was like 10. Did we go to Cece's in Wichita? Did we go to Cece's in like Shawnee or and when I was 12. I don't know. I can't even remember. But I remember CC's Pizza because I remember that you could just go get more pizza forever. And I was definitely of an age where I wasn't concerned about, like, what those carbs were doing to my body, right? And I got to tell you, man, this isn't – not everything has to be about diabetes now, although it kind of is. But that – not everything on this show has to be about diabetes. But I think partially with that now in mind, but really, you eventually hit a certain age where I do wonder if there's a way to access that part of your brain again where you can just enjoy something with no wet blanket over it by thinking about how many calories is this actually going to have? Like, is this going to set back my metabolism? I don't know. I don't know how long you can preserve that.
Well, freshman year at Arizona State, people know I was a Sun Devil for a year.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting their first month of the year, man. I tell you what, everyone wants to go home. We're having a good time, but we miss our families. We're all broke already because we've already traded in our textbooks for beer money, all that good stuff.
Arizona State.
True story. And I'm not that type of guy usually, but apparently I am. I was on scholarship too. And got the textbooks first week of class. They said, you guys don't actually need these. Said, okay, well, we're going out, you know, and hanging out this weekend. I need to get some money. Let's get some funds rolling in. We called it Taylor Place Dining. And Taylor Place was like this really cool luxury, like, dorm place that we lived in.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool. I had my own room and all that good stuff. But we'd go down on the base floor. There was Starbucks. We saw Mike D'Antoni down there one time.
Okay, good.
I believe the Rockets were in town. They were playing the Suns. He was down there. We saw him outside TP.
So that was Mike D'Antoni, Rockets head coach.
That was 2017.
Oh, my God. I keep feeling older every time I talk to you, man.
That was 2017.
I was like, hey, yeah, I think I was in college the last year. Mike D'Antoni was coaching the Suns. And you were – that's not what happened for you.
Yeah, no, he was Rockets.
You're happy birthday tomorrow, by the way.
Thanks.
Found out earlier today your birthday is tomorrow. Everyone can wish Jordan a happy birthday in advance at footnoted on Twitter. We are almost exactly – you're going to be 23, right?
Yeah.
We're almost exactly 4 years apart, right? I just turned 27. You're just turning 23.
Yeah.
So that's we are one full graduating class. We could have gone to the same high school and not overlap.
Well, and you
is
brought
that
up,
right? Oh my God, I'm dying. I'm a dinosaur.
You brought up the whole I'm a different bubble than you on those like surveys.
Yes.
Like, are you 21 to 25 or 25 plus? Like those things. And I never thought of it that way. I was always like, you know, if you're not 30, then you're all the same age. Like 20s is just an interesting journey for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Once you get out of college and before you hit 30, I view that all the same. But it's a different freaking bubble.
I also have thought that way. We're going to come back to this Mike D'Antoni slash food court story. So that food court seems like it's not nice enough for how wonderful Taylor's Place fine dining.
Taylor Place. We started off with a Chiefs lead, and now we're going on age and
we will
and Taylor
legit
Place.
Do Chiefs Bills talk today.
Yes.
Hand to God. And also some Chiefs Steelers. I have some things I want to ask you about. With that being said, I also used to think that way about like – obviously, 20 and 21 are hugely different because where are you legally allowed to be when you hang out with your friends is a big deal. But I wanted to say 20s are basically kind of the same. I've got friends in all sorts of different phases of life. Mm. We all met in our homeschool, high school. But, you know, I'm thinking of this group of guys. Like, we've got a couple of them are married. Now two of us are engaged. And then there's, you know, different stages of relationships with some other ones or not currently in one. And Grant, I swear to God, man, I'm going to get you. We're going to keep working on it. Okay. I love you, Grant. Sorry for putting you on blast on the radio, but ladies, he's one of the best people I know.
And he's friends with you.
And he's available.
Maybe that's a poor choice though. If he's friends, I don't know. It depends on how you view that.
Yeah, that's true. We almost weren't friends in high school, but then the rest of our friends were friends. And now
there you go.
I consider him one of my best friends. So it's, you know, people grow together, right?
Yeah.
I need him to just wander in one day because I think that hour of radio would be fascinating for people who are too invested in this show. But you know, I've got just that one group of guys who we all met at the same, basically the same age, different relationship statuses, different professional status, all sorts of different things, right? However, as much as I want to believe in all of that, the difference between being 22 and 28 or 29
it's a big deal.
Is a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
If you have, I think you can even think about this through dating if you want. If you have a 22 or a 29-year-old friend that is suddenly dating the other one there, I don't know if you're saying that to your friend right away. It might depend which side of the age gap they're on. But I think at least privately you're having the conversation of like, boy, they're like 7 years older. Like they,
yeah.
Like when they were 19, my friend was 12. You know that. And as you get older, that becomes that those gaps become less and less meaningful. You know, 42 and 49. Is that a big deal? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it to me. Mm. But I also didn't think that 23 to 27 was going to be a big deal. And maybe that right there, I think we might just be within the margin for error there.
Yeah.
I think these last this last month or so when I've been 27 and you have been 22 has really strained our relationship.
Yep.
I think tomorrow we're going to be okay again. That's my hope. And you know what? I'll say it. My prayer.
Well, and so you only have 10 years between that 20 to 30 gap, obviously. Your late 20s, you're not going to like hearing this, but you are officially there. 27, 28, 29, you were there. Yeah. Early 20s, I guess I could make a case that 23 is not quite your mid-20s, 24, 25, 26.
I think that is your mid-20s.
Really?
I think 1, 2, 3 is your early.
Okay.
4, 5, 6 is your middle. 7, 8, 9 is your
and
late.
20
I'm
is
in the
just,
late one now.
And 20 is just you're there. And I think I still have one more year to hold on to the I can avoid some adult stuff and I'm in my early 20s.
Yeah.
But I feel like once you hit your mid-20s, things change. Like people still call me a kid all the time. A, because I'm usually like the youngest person in a lot of the situations I find myself in, which
right.
is my own fault. But
that's also, if we're going to get too honest for a minute, a testament to how quickly you have learned to do things. It's also something that I have been fortunate to be able to do.
Sure.
We can just fill this room with our own farts just so we can sniff them if you want.
I don't know. I think – how do we tie this back to Mike D'Antoni? He's old, obviously. he's in his – how old do you think Mike D'Antoni is? I'll look it up
right
live.
Right now?
Just guess.
54.
54? I'm going to guess 61.
I just said – I don't know, man. I just spat out a number.
He is, as it's loading, he is 70.
No.
He's 70 years old.
No.
When did he last coach the Phoenix Suns?
When was he the Suns coach?
I'm looking it up.
Was
so,
he 54
here we go.
Then, even?
What year was his final year with the Suns? Because remember, he went Suns, Knicks, Lakers, associate head coach with Philly, then Houston. Now he's an assistant with the Nets. What was the last year?
I'm just going to say 2010.
It was 2008.
Okay.
So you were close.
I almost said 09. I can't remember the specific years of disasters and whatnot for the Suns. So
5-time Italian League champion, 2-time Euro League champion.
So this all really got bad whenever I was going to say, "Oh yeah, Arizona State." You saw Mike D'Antoni
yes.
there because he was the Suns coach. You said the Rockets were in town.
Yeah,
that started this entire spiral. So you can pick it back up from that the story of that era. You were not this type of person until you were suddenly. That
yes.
was where we left off
yes.
10 minutes ago, and then I had an entire crisis.
A quarter.
Now I'm back.
Well, I don't want to say a quarter life crisis because you'd be 108 at
I've
that
done
point.
This, man,
or
too. It's too. I think. I hope it's too early for me to be having a midlife crisis.
I hope so too.
But it's definitely too late for me to be having a quarter life one.
Yeah.
Your quarter life crisis needs to start tomorrow, basically.
Yeah. Because
that gets you to 89.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I think most of us would be lucky to get to 89. It feels like 90 would be a nice round number. I don't know what your personal goals are.
No, that gets
are.
Me to 92, right? 46 and 46.
I can't even do math anymore.
Yeah, that gets me to 92. I'd take that.
It sure does. Yeah, 92 feels like a winner.
I'd have to drop a couple pounds so I could get around pretty well, but I could take 92.
Weird
I set the bar low.
I
set the bar low so then when I'm like that 40-year-old that's like in the best shape of his life, I actually mean it.
Yep.
So I've been holding on to that.
That's good. Yeah, I'm not in the best shape of my life, but I'm in better shape than I was 6 months ago, you know?
I wonder.
The trend in the right
yeah,
direction.
Yeah, you just woke up one day and said, you know, I'm gonna be healthy. No external factors at all
none.
That persuaded you to make any any necessary changes.
Many of those changes happened without my consent. I was a passenger on some of these changes. You saw Mike D'Antoni one day at this place.
We were walking down the street, and like downtown Phoenix, I'm sure it's a lot bigger than we thought it was. It didn't seem like that big of a place.
Right.
Like, we could walk to the Suns Arena within 15 minutes. Not with all the, like, streets.
From campus?
From campus.
Oh,
from,
cool.
We could walk out, get there in 15 minutes. We could get to Chase Field in 15 minutes. It's extremely close. Tempe, you're talking like a half hour, like, streetcar ride type thing.
Okay.
Shuttle. Maybe like 20 minutes or so, 25.
I will say that traveling by foot in Arizona, you have to triple the time to account for if it's 1,000 degrees out. But, yeah.
So, that's another story for another day when I got made fun of for wearing long sleeves and jeans when it was 109 degrees first week.
Oh.
They asked me where the hell I was from. I said Kansas.
You said the sun?
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway,
wow.
We walk out of TP. We're getting ready to go to class, and we walk past Starbucks on the way to class, and we see this dude just chilling out there by himself. And we're all big basketball people. We said, that guy kind of looks like Mike D'Antoni. And then all of a sudden, as we're walking away, we hear someone come up, coach, coach. And literally every single one of us stopped, turned around, ran over there, and just like said hi and said like good luck tonight. We didn't want like pictures or any of that stuff. Like I've seen Travis Kelce at Yard House one table away from us before. And my buddies are like, dude, are you going to go talk to him? I'm like, no, A, because of the nature of the profession that I'm in. But B, they're just chilling. You know, we wouldn't want it to happen to us. We think it's cool for the first couple times. Like, Josh, I'm sure you get people every single second that say, oh my God, Josh Briscoe.
Yeah, I can't walk outside without my mask on. It was the real plus side of the COVID pandemic is that I at least finally got an excuse to cover my face in public. Yeah.
But so there's really not a huge correlation between TP Dining Hall and Mike D'Antoni, but
there is something about
TP Dining Hall had to happen in order for Mike D'Antoni to happen. That's the cycle. There is no Mike D'Antoni at Starbucks without Taylor Place Dining because Starbucks was built at the same time as Taylor Place Dining.
That I'm glad that we had the Mike D'Antoni story. I'm happy to be here on this story.
It's the evolution of a 70-year-old who we thought was in his 50s or 60s.
I can't believe he's 70.
He's been around
That's
the block.
Insane. But there was a story I think was going to turn into you selling unneeded textbooks. And I also wanted to get to the end of that story.
Okay.
Because my brain has a really hard time letting
stuff
loose
like that
threads go.
Yeah.
It either happens by accident or it does not happen at all.
Okay.
That's just where I'm at.
So,
here's the phrase that really, really caught me. You said the phrase, I'm not usually this type of person. But I guess in this situation I was, and I just want to know what that is exactly about.
Okay,
my guesses.
So we got there week one. It might have been week two. Week one we had class, and my grades were higher in Arizona than they were when I got back to Kansas, ironically, at Baker University of all places. So my grades were like a full
half. Is that Mike McCarthy went?
Yes.
I remember looking at this recently.
Yes.
Baker and Mid-American Nazarene, bitter rivals.
Yes.
You guys got Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
We got Kent.
That's fair. That's a fair trade.
You know who I'd rather have managing the clock
exactly.
at the end of the game?
Or calling plays or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So my GPA was like a full half point higher at ASU. I mean, it was a big difference. So ironically, first week of class, we all go. Teachers all say, professors say, you guys don't really need the textbook. I hope you didn't actually buy them. I was the guy that I got the syllabus the first day. I immediately ran to the books room and said, oh my God, I really need these textbooks. Got them all. It was too late to trade them back in.
You had
like 6 days, and I had taken like seven to make up my mind. So first weekend, I didn't go with a lot of money in my pocket. My parents, unfortunately, couldn't say, hey, here's, you know, $1,000 to get you started. It was what I made off my part-time serving job in high school over the summer.
Where did you work?
I worked at Dagwood's Cafe on Southwest Boulevard for literally from age 15 to age 22, because when I got back, I was working there again.
Okay.
I just stopped in early 2021 before I graduated from college.
This place looks like
you would
like
it.
Set of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
You would like it.
It seems kind of wonderful. We don't have to. We've got to finish the textbook story. I just was curious. I think generally speaking, people who have worked in a service industry for at least 6 months are better people on the other side of it.
Yes.
So I was like finding that
no,
out.
No, dude, and I loved the people there. I go there usually once or twice a month just to go back and see how everyone's doing, go in on the weekend, grab a bite to eat, whatever.
I do not return often to the Chick-fil-A at Oak Park Mall.
No way. You worked there?
I did for like a year and a half. I was the Holy Trinity, man. I was homeschooled, a pastor's kid, and working at Chick-fil-A. Like,
oh,
went, like,
man.
Touched by God himself.
Have they always said my pleasure was that?
Yeah.
Just, really?
I'll tell you what, man, that's a tough habit to break.
Yeah.
You start saying my pleasure at home, and it's over. You've got to rewire your brain in there at some point.
Okay, so, first week, I didn't have very much money, and my buddies wanted to go out, and I forget what the bar was even called.
And I could bleep up some biscuits and gravy right now.
Yeah, no, dude, they're known for that too. It's very legitimate.
Keep talking. I'm just gonna scroll through.
No,
the menu.
It's fantastic, dude. Highly recommended. I'm not biased in any way whatsoever. My brother also cooks there, so I don't know that could be good or bad. Either way, we went out, and it was one of those bars where like. You didn't even need a fake ID. They literally were just like letting people in because they knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy.
Yep.
So we made friends with like one of the head broadcasting people there very early on. Let's go to insert name of bar that I'm not going to reveal on the radio because I don't want to get him in trouble.
Sure.
Went.
We'll call it Stabby's.
Stabby's.
Because I'm thinking of the ASU pitchfork little guy.
Yeah.
That's a good name for a bar.
Yeah, so we went to Stabby's, but beforehand I needed to get some extra cash. So on Friday, I went to the bookstore and traded in every single one of my textbooks. And I got like $73 for them. And that was, heck, 10 beers and a couple shots or so. Not that I had all that in one night, but that's what it would have got me.
The professors told you didn't need them.
Yeah.
What else? You
and I was on scholarship, so I didn't have to pay for them. So I said, you know what?
Oh,
I
should just... that's good. Okay,
yeah, so
I
should have. The smarter move would have been, oh, I need this book, this book, this book, this book, then traded in like 100 textbooks.
Yeah.
But they would have known something was up.
Yeah.
So
at some point in there, you become a system gamer.
Yes.
On this front, you came by it honestly.
Yeah.
So where is the guilt coming from there? As you say,
I just felt bad because I didn't pay for those damn books.
I see.
I said, I'm not that type of guy, but I was desperate. I wanted some money and I wasn't going to use them. I wasn't going to be, I hate to say it, I kind of knew after a few weeks that I wasn't going to come back to that school the year after. I was like, I just miss not having a car. I don't have any money. I want to go home.
I want to dig in on that at some point. I will not make you also open up that chapter today. Also,
okay.
We have a football playoff game we can talk about. But
it's a good story.
It is a good story. And I don't think that anyone, if you're there on scholarship, it doesn't matter how you got the books.
Yeah.
You had the books and you traded them in a system that was already there in place.
Yeah.
And again, internally, you came by honestly. You got the books to get the books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for professors who will have books in a syllabus and then have you show up and say, I've done the thing. And they're like, you just wasted, I don't know, $200.
Yep.
Which is a good chunk of money regardless, a big deal amount of money to a bunch of broke freshmen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, from that point forward, maybe you learn to, like, not buy the book until the first week of classes. But if you really need the book for the first week of your freaking advanced physics class, you're bleeped.
My college experience was not, and that's why when people ask about, like, do you think you have to go to college? Do you think I should do this, do that? I'm like, I don't want to give you an opinion because no two experiences are exactly the same. Like, I was on scholarship. I was allowed to literally leave with a safety net of coming back and still being on scholarship. I went to kind of Baker's an expensive school.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of prioritized doing, like, I worked hard, but I didn't always go to class. My in-class work ethic and my out-of-class work ethic, completely different.
Interesting.
Like, I would literally, at ASU, I was good there. I'd go to class, and this is kind of depressing. I'd go back to my dorm and like write or like try to improve like sports media related stuff for like 6 hours and like have my buddy say, get the heck out of your room. We're going to go do something. Then I got to Baker. I'd go to class and I'd do like passable work.
Right.
But then I would get out and I'd want to write something. I'd want to go to the radio station. I'd want to go call a game. Like I was always wanting to do something outside of going to class. The actual going there and saying I hate this part was very difficult for me to swallow. But going outside of class, the second I stepped out of that building, I just wanted to go do something and work. So the in-class work ethic, it was like a cloud. Like, it was storming, and then the second you're out of class, clear skies, sunny, all that good stuff, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting.
It's kind of a priority thing. Like, I prioritized – I used it as 4 years to build a resume, which, I mean, that's technically what it is.
Yep.
But once I realized that – you know, employers care a lot more about, and this is turning into like an off-script podcast. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Once you realize,
if you're
that,
45 and listening to this, you might not have any use for it. But if you're, you know, we get those DMs quite a bit of, hey, what do I need to know? So here we go.
So once you realize like what your line of work is hopefully going to be, once you realize what type of person you are, once you realize, you know, they care a lot more about your resume than whether you turned in this assignment or your spotty attendance or whatever, if you got work done and you got through it and your resume is impressive and you worked hard in some aspect, you just have to show that you can do it. So if you're for some reason a kid like Josh and I were, who were interested in radio at a very young age, that's a blueprint for how to get through college as Josh Briscoe or Jordan Foote. It probably won't work for you, but it might. And that's the menu, Waffle House, Mike D'Antoni, Starbucks, Taylor Place story.
There's a buffet of ways you can get to any given point you want to get to. I'm trying to figure out what I want to, if I want to lay out any funny sort of just me in college things. I will just give you this. It's a weird, this is the definition of weird flex, but okay. And it's not a flex.
It's not the sleeping bag story, is it?
No. Okay. No, that was also a weird flex, but I've probably told that one on the show before. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I had, over 4 years at MNU, had three non-A's.
No way.
And they were all in my senior year. It was college algebra. As a senior that I thought I tested out of, and I didn't, and I did not do very well, and it was the only teacher that I had at MNU. He was an adjunct, so I don't mind even saying this. The only teacher I had at MNU who was flatly unqualified to be doing that job. And also, I was unqualified to be doing college algebra. And then both Systematic Theology 1 and Systematic Theology 2, they were both very hard classes, but very good ones. I did some good work in those classes. I took them as an elective because I'm a dumb person.
So were they B's, or like, did you almost fail, or how was that?
No, I definitely didn't almost fail. I just didn't almost get an A in any of them either. I think I might have had... I genuinely don't remember. I think probably low B's, maybe a C+ or something.
I can one up.
It's heartbreaking because I didn't. I was very attached to that GPA.
I don't know why, for no reason.
Also, that again, one other, not a flex. Young children listening right now, I had my GPA on my internship resume whenever I was applying here, and never again did anyone else in this building ever ask what my GPA was.
Yeah.
Ever. If anyone who works here is listening right now, that might have been how they found out for today in 2022.
So two things off of that. One, I don't think I ever had like a proper internship that I can remember.
That's wild. Because that's usually
two,
what
two
I end up telling
people. 2 years
was
the COVID year, though. Twice.
No, that's true.
So that made it more difficult. But, I mean, I was writing for like sites since like 18, so I mean I counted that as like experience. But here's the kicker with all of this. When did you have fall break? Like, was it mid-October you guys had your fall break, where it's like a 4-day weekend or 5-day weekend or whatever?
I literally couldn't even remember. We might have been doing newspaper stuff throughout most of that anyway. I don't know.
So our fall break was like mid-October, like the 15th, and you'd get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever it was. Junior year?
Whatever. Was that Baker then?
Yes, this was at Baker. I was in photography class because...
Photography was
fun. It must have been senior year, actually. First semester of senior year. It was one of those, oh, hey, we forgot you didn't have this credit, and we need to throw you in there. And I was ticked because I had it set up to where I'd only have classes on these certain days and I could stay home. Oh. No, it was junior year first semester because it was pre-COVID because we were out there in person. So I was out there...
That three 3 days a week of classes thing.
Yes.
If any of you can set that grift up
that's
for yourself.
That's the way to go.
Oh, it's the way to go.
So
also, close second, no morning classes.
Yes.
Also,
and
also
good. That was a 9:30, which was fairly early.
Mm-hmm.
Not too early. Didn't want to go. So I went to photography. I did probably three projects over the first month and a half of school. We started pretty late, so like almost September, basically. After that, we went on fall break. I just didn't go back. like I didn't set foot in that classroom again.
Uh-huh.
I ran into my photography teacher in the library because I was studying for other classes. Like,
so
I was,
you were back at school. You just never went back to the photography class?
I literally only set foot in that building to go to my math class and to study. And photography was across the hall from math. And, like, I never ran into her on campus. Like, second to last week of school, right before finals week, she said, I ran into her in the hallway. She said, weren't you in my photography class? I was like, I still am. She said, you didn't drop out or anything? I was like, no, I, like, missed the deadline. Because after fall break, the deadline was very quick.
Right?
And, like, I didn't have my mind made up whether I wanted to drop or not. So then I just stopped going. She said, if you'll turn in what you've done so far, I will give you a passing grade. Because right now you have an F in photography. And you're going to have to explain for the rest of your life
that you failed
photography one at Baker University. I said, that sounds terrific. And she said, you know, I wouldn't approve you for taking photography two, obviously, at this point.
Fair.
But you're a good kid. And it just isn't working out, but I want you to be able to pass this class. I said, thank you so much. I went in that night and grinded it out in the photography room from 9 until like 3 in the morning.
Got to.
Turned in all my work, sent her an email, didn't communicate with her at all, didn't show up for finals week, any of that stuff. Checked my report card or progress report, whatever, transcripts. That's the professional term.
Sure.
And I had a D. And that is how I almost failed photography.
Photography won.
Photography won.
What a prof though, because that could have been.
No, she was so cool.
That would have been really annoying.
It just wasn't my thing, man. I just didn't like it. Which, not your thing isn't a reason to just not go.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
But yeah,
good to be self aware about.
Like in the real world, you can't do that,
right? But it's
say,
college.
I'm not feeling it. I'm just not gonna go.
But college is kind of fake.
Well, and I think
we can all acknowledge that
if you see there's a way around it or a way out, it makes it easier. In the real world, you can't just say, I don't really care for this, I'm not going to do it, because there's no safety net for that. You lose whatever you have.
Right.
You just lose a couple GPA points if you don't go to photography class.
Yeah, you lose your progress and start back over from earlier on in the real world. In college, you might just lose you might drop a couple GPA points.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're probably learning a lot about me.
I am. Here's what I almost said. I'm really glad I didn't, because it would have spoiled the story. And then we'll take a break and come back and talk about football, I promise. I almost said, I didn't know you took a digital photography class. I love my digital photography class. We got to have you do more photography stuff. We can always do somebody with an extra eye behind a camera. And I, you know, could have said any of those things before that story and then immediately have been proven wrong on a lot of those things. And I'm glad that I waited until now, because now we have that context.
Yeah.
Can you be trusted just with like a Snapchat camera in your hand?
Oh no,
like,
and I can probably still hop in Lightroom and edit stuff. Like, I don't actively not know how to do it. I don't actively dislike it, but for some reason, the way the class was structured, you had like these critiques where they would put your project up and then you'd roast the entire class.
Yeah.
Like, there were several little minor details I didn't like, and I had anxiety problems back then. I was like, I just can't do it. I'm
totally
not going. So now I can, like, point and shoot, I can edit, I can do all that stuff. But in the moment, I was like, I straight up am not having a good time.
the roast your class
it was bad.
Part reminds me of some of the graphic design classes that I took and genuinely really enjoyed. I remember my graphic design classes mostly very fondly. I was going to say pretty fondly, though, because a couple of them were, like, 7 to 9 p.m. once a week or whatever.
Yeah.
And those will get you.
Yeah.
Those are I don't envy the professor for having to literally wake up students on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
That's a tough spot to find yourself in late at a weeknight. But I kind of like the peer review of other people's stuff, because you had to pick your spots, right? But also, you know, my bleep don't stink. Yeah, I'm happy to put my work up there in front of the class because mine's going to be perfect.
Oh, one
it
more
wasn't,
thing.
But it felt like it to me. It didn't feel like it to me. It feels like it more like that to me in retrospect, actually. Yes, the one more thing.
Chiefs-Rams, Monday Night Football.
Yes.
That game. I had a radio show scheduled that night, and I absolutely, this was a bad decision on my part. I felt really bad. I feel guilty when I make bad decisions because that's just how I am. I really
You're
don't
carrying
want to,
this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really don't want to make those decisions, but I'm also fairly transparent. Uh-huh. Like, if I make a mistake, I'll own up to it.
Right.
I just skipped out on the show, and I went and watched Chiefs-Rams Monday Night Football because I thought it was going to be a good game. Granted, the best damn game I've ever watched.
Yeah.
So it was worth it.
It paid off.
And then Prof asked me the next day, like, how'd everything go? I was the last show Monday night, 10 to midnight. It was a
Baker was running a 10 to midnight show?
All their shows were at night. None of them were during the day.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, well, we had one show during the day because someone was a big shot and had their schedule just didn't line up. Mine was Monday, 10 to midnight. We had, like, five people listening every week. I was like, those five people are probably watching Chiefs and Rams.
Yes.
You get one free. It was quote-unquote free for, like, an emergency reason to miss your show.
Ooh.
So I just didn't tell him I was going to use my reason, and I just watched the game. So technically, again, kind of like the textbook beer money thing, didn't completely cheat the system, but still felt bad because there was a better avenue to go around with that. And I watched the best football game ever instead, even though the Chiefs did not come away victorious in that game.
You've got to, at some point, we need to really just get that duffel bag of shame out, get it on here on this desk, unzip it, and we're going to try to get through some of that guilt and figure out what you should and shouldn't still be carrying with you.
Yeah.
Because I think that one, I'm going to say, as the arbiter of guilt here, you can let that one go. You can let the textbook one go.
Yeah.
Breathe a deep exhale for me right now. Breathe in and try to bring in all of the guilt and shame you feel and let it go.
I feel no guilt for running 35, 36 minutes on not Chiefs stuff.
That's
no,
good.
No guilt whatsoever.
That's good.
That's,
all right.
It's
well,
almost
then,
entirely sports after all.
Yeah, and this hour is going to be – this hour should be called Sports Are Coming, I Promise. And that's, you know, in the continuation, the next segment of tonight's Sports Are Coming, I Promise, is up after this break with Jordan Foote of Sports Radio 810, of Arrowhead Report, and of all sorts of long unpacked guilt that we'll spend more time on the sports than the guilt next segment. But I will say, yeah, we should not feel guilty about the radio magic we've made at this point.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You know, I went to BYU, so every down's a throwing down. I mean, that's how that goes.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So I'm not going to apologize or certainly feel any guilt about the last segment of radio we did. In fact, I think it was some wonderful radio, especially if you're either just younger than me, which could make you Jordan's age, or even somehow younger than Jordan. Shout out to all the literal fetuses that are listening to this show right now. You know, mama's holding up a speaker to the womb or something, which I think is the only way you can be younger than Jordan.
Really. Or listening, reminiscing on the college days could be one of those
type
pieces.
Sure, but especially if you're looking, you know, if you're the type of person that's looking for, you know, some sage life advice.
Yeah.
From one person in his early 20s and one person in his late 20s. I just found a gray hair. I'm done. I haven't. That's not true. But
I have.
Have you really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe as long as you age more quickly, you're going to be. No, we can't. I can't go all the. I can't make you Benjamin Button of this radio show. That's unfair. Rudy doesn't look like he's aged a ton over the last few years, but I think that his heart has done like a Grinch sort of reverse.
Aw, Rudy.
Not emotionally.
Yeah.
Not his heart isn't open or shut. I think just the physical toll on his body, you know? So you gotta keep an eye out for that. But I'm not apologizing for last segment. I really enjoyed it. I hope you listening did as well, as we're still here with Jordan Foote of us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, also Arrowhead Report on the Sports Illustrated Fan Nation Network. But I want to talk about some Chiefs things with you, Jordan, before we get to the show being over. We've talked plenty of Chiefs so far tonight. I don't feel bad about it. But I want to go a little bit looking back to Sunday, a little looking ahead to Sunday. Take me to the end of the first quarter. It's 0-0. Actually, take me to 7-0. Where were you at early second quarter? TJ Watt just scored the game's first touchdown.
I talked all week about how the reason I compare the Chiefs and the Bills so often, so frequently, there is always a chance, and I think the chance with the Bills is much greater than it is with the Chiefs, that they don't show up and they just don't do it the way they should. Buffalo, man, I think someone else tweeted, I can't remember who, like 33% of the time they show up and they're great. 33% of the time one unit struggles, and then 33% you have no clue what you're going to get into. The Chiefs, it's not nearly that like expansive and crazy and diverse, but this year there has been a chance that they don't show up or they get off to a slow start. And I said, if you pull that bleep against a team like Buffalo and Buffalo's on, you're down 14 zip against Josh Allen. Yep. I don't care if you're at home or not. So I was thinking to myself, there's a non-zero chance that the Chiefs took advantage of the non-zero chance and decided not to show up. I was like, I think they're going to snap out of it. They have, you know, they could go into the third quarter down 7 and still figure it out, down 14. But knowing Pittsburgh, and like you said, the longer the game stayed that way, I think the more it favored Pittsburgh, because they played weird games. They played one-score games. Big Ben, for some reason, not comes alive, but weird stuff happens. He leads comebacks. They keep it close. It wasn't great after and the nature of how it happened. The tipped pass interception, the camera close-up of Mahomes. I was like, this is Chiefs football from earlier in the year. It was very bad. And I think seeing where they came from the week before, had they just beat the brakes off the Broncos, like, okay, slow start, whatever. Seeing them play uninspired football for all of the Broncos game the week before that, definitely I didn't feel great. I was still like 90% confident they'd snap out of it. But that last 10%, I was like, man, this might just literally be it for them. I don't know if they're going to be able to bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost exactly where I ended up being. I don't know if you would have ever put a gun to my head and say, hey, are the Chiefs going to lose this football game? I don't know what percentage ever would have given you on that. But at the very least, the thing that we spent a lot of time last week talking about was, if the Chiefs do play that uninspired brand of football, what's the score going to be whenever they come out of it?
Yeah.
And in this game, mercifully for the Chiefs, it was 7-0 because the Steelers aren't very good. Again, we've talked about that. We talked about that last week, talked about it postgame, talked about it tonight on the level of, you know, that was the path to that game being stressful or frustrating or concerning or whatever. But then it's 7-0 and everything starts coming up Chiefs after that. Obviously, we all saw it. I am curious about two things here. One is still kind of back from Chiefs-Steelers, and then one looks ahead to this weekend. From Chiefs-Steelers, everything that happened after 7-0, what are you taking away as something of some amount of substance? And you could give me something as specific as Jerick McKinnon, something as broad as they showed that they still got it, anything in between. But what would you pick from that game to carry over to Sunday?
I think they're both offensively. I mean, you could say the defense did what they were supposed to do. I'm not really taking a ton away from that. Someone brought up, and I hate saying someone, but I always forget who tweets.
I do this
things.
All the time. You're in good company.
Someone brought up they didn't play a ton of world beating offenses and quarterbacks during their win streak. When they were, after they started off Birders Row, seven games.
Yep.
They didn't get tested a ton, and when they did, they gave up like 30 points both times. So I think there's validity to the point that the Chiefs defense obviously wasn't as good as it was performing at one point,
right?
But it's also way better than the unit we started the season watching. Yeah. And I think that the middle ground for that is top 16, maybe top 13, top 12, maybe even top 10 on a good day. It can break some playoff games if things fall right. So that was one takeaway. Offensively, man, Andy Reid, he was in his bag. There were a couple second and long runs I didn't like seeing. There were a couple play calls where I was like, what the heck are you doing? But like diagnosing that stuff in real time, you just don't know. And even us not being football purists per se, we still don't know what was going on. But the running back position, the state of it, I think, allowed him to do some of that stuff. And also, like, the screen passes to Mecole Hardman, the the phantom motion with Tyreek Hill pre-snap. I think Darius Fountain even like got pre-snap motion mm-hmm. one play. Like, it was really interesting. And I think Jerick McKinnon's got to be the guy. Like, he's got to be the guy moving forward for at least this playoff run. Yeah. Next year, he's going to be 30. He has the injury history. I'm not saying he needs to, like, ink an extension in the right. offseason or anything like right. that. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you have to rank the four Chiefs running backs in terms of, like, how much I expect them to perform well the rest of the way.
Yeah.
It's Jerick McKinnon, one.
Like, that's the easiest of the four, I think.
It's Darrell Williams, two.
Yeah.
I think it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, three, and then Derek right. Gore. Like, Clyde has been serviceable,
mm-hmm.
but you see the graphs with the hashtag analytics, like rushing yards over expected versus offensive line play. Darrell Williams was very, very bad. He just is not a good yards per carry running back. He mm-hmm. can do a lot of stuff. That's not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, literally, like, breaking even.
Yeah.
He is literally average in several aspects of the game. Average athlete. The size is below average. The burst is not good. Throw in the injuries. Jerick McKinnon, man, even if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is healthy, even if Darrell Williams, who didn't practice on Wednesday, is healthy and is able to play, Jerick McKinnon, who played, what, 78% of the snaps, he's probably earned 65, 70% again and again and again until I think it doesn't work. And with only, what, three games left, I think that it could work moving forward.
That's what I was going to say also, is that, you know, from injuries and wear and tear and leg freshness and all of that, I don't know that you're going to be able to get yourself 5 or 10 consecutive games in a row like that from Jerick McKinnon. But if you're the Chiefs right now, you need four.
Yeah.
Four is all you could possibly ask for. Here's the last thing for you real quick. 30 seconds to give us somewhere to start. Also, I should mention, people can hear more of you on the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Roughing the Kicker. Give me one thing that you're looking at coming up in Chiefs-Bills that you either are excited about, worried about, think should be a point of focus here on a Wednesday.
I'm excited for Josh Allen, man. Mm. He's a fun quarterback to watch. I don't know if they're going to be able to contain him completely. If good Josh Allen shows up, Chiefs are going to have their hands full. If bad Josh Allen shows up and Spags is putting pressure on him, I don't think it's going to be as close as people expect it to be. I'm leaning the first one. I think it's going to be a fight.
Right now, where are you leaning on the results front?
I flipped a coin, and it bounced around and bounced around and then landed on its side, and yeah. then I finally knocked it over, okay. and it landed on the Chiefs. So I'm thinking like 30 to 24, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was even like a three-point game, and mm-hmm. I also wouldn't be surprised if the Bills ended up winning. I think, man, this is the AFC Championship. I'll leave you with that.
I agree. I think I agree with that, and that's so disrespectful to two good football teams in the other
care.
Game. But this I totally agree. This feels kind of like it. Jordan, thank you, as always, for being here. Thank you for sharing your insecurities, your guilt, your collegiate experiences. Thank you for helping me realize that Mike D'Antoni is 70 years old. I'm going to go home and stare at the ceiling until I fall asleep in the darkness and realize that everything here is futile and passing me by too quickly. But if people want to continue to follow your work, you can do it in a bunch of places. Now, all over here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, socials, video stuff, all over the place, a good chance that if you see something pushed out via 810 that Jordan's fingerprints are on it. But you can also get the content that you're doing directly in terms of following you on Twitter at Footnoted, checking out the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast, and also reading your work up on arrowheadreport.com on Sports Illustrated. I think that's everything. Jordan, you want to say bye, Mom, or bye to anybody? You can have the end of the show today. Hey, Mom, bye, Mom. But I'm going to let Jordan have the end of this one, too.
Photography professor from junior year, if you're listening to this, I am very sorry. And you were great. It just didn't work out. It's not me. It's not you. It's me.
Bye, Jordan's professor that taught digital photography and bailed him out from failing.